prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this
So if you brought a Bible, turn to Matthew 22:27. And we will be at, yeah, it's 27, that's about fit. We'll just start at 15 after we pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting with us today. The Bible says we're two or three met together in your name, that you're present there. We can't see you, of course, but you can see us. And we welcome your presence and your guidance and your love and your mercy and your kindness, and help us with our obedience. We thank you that we can preach the gospel freely still, and that people still find you as Savior here. And if there be one here today who knows you not as Lord and Savior of their life, may today the Spirit of God take what we say and lay it upon them, and they say, well, I better get in on this, for time is short, and I don't know when I'm going to leave here. So we thank you so much for your saving grace. We thank you for healing Don and Coach Hatchell and the other people here that you've touched with healing powers, and we thank you for those who believe that, and we thank you for those who believe in prayer and pray for one another. And there's hundreds who do that, who pray for our church all over the country. We thank you for that. We ask you to be with me as I preach. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. And for his sake, amen. So today we want to talk about things don't change, do they? And this is concerning Pilate. You remember his name. You know, do you notice nobody ever calls a dog Judas or Pilate? They won't even name a dog those two names, see? And I'm so glad to see Jackie and Bob. We just missed you. I was coming by your house. I thought Sloan had done something with you. You know, you have to watch him. So at verse 15, this is about Pilate. Says, now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And in that day, when this feast came around, the governor was one who released a prisoner. It didn't matter who the prisoner was or what he had done. It was an act of mercy of the governor to release a prisoner. Strangely enough, he, as we'll read in a minute, released Barabbas instead of Jesus Christ. Barabbas had done nothing in his life but sin. Jesus has never sinned, and as the government will do, they release the wrong one. Right? President Obama just released one as he hopefully gets out of office soon. He gets to release, I don't know how many, but he gets to release a few. And he's already named one of the worst criminals in America. He's going to put him back on the street. Did we ever thank you for that, Mr. Obama? And nothing changes much. The human nature by itself will not change. And we'll point that out as we continue to read. And so Barabbas has been in jail. And they then called a notable prisoner. He was notable because he was, I mean, this was a bad guy. Everybody knew the name of Barabbas. I have heard, I have it confirmed. Jack might do the research on it, let me know. I understand Barabbas' first name was Jesus. I don't know, but I've heard that before. But you got to be careful what you just hear, don't you? Then they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto the crowd, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. Now, isn't this something that even 2,000 years ago, here the government is not going by what's right or what's truth. They are making their laws according to public opinion. I'm so sick of hearing people on the television, these talk shows, I call them talking head shows, and you watch a few every now and then, and they'll come up with this, what kind of marriage do they call it? Not mixed marriage, what do they call it now? Man marrying a man?
What?
Same-sex marriage, that's the title. Yeah, and they'll get discussing same-sex, and inevitably one of the liberals on the forum will say, well, I support that. It doesn't matter what you support. They say, well, most of America supports that. Has nothing to do with the truth. The Supreme Court doesn't support that. Be careful when you say the Supreme Court, because they're not in Washington. That's the Supreme Court of the United States of America. The Supreme Court's going to meet later. And all these people who are putting up with that mess, same-sex marriage, and call it what it is. It's sin. I've yet to hear anybody for or against it call it sin. That's exactly what it is. It's sin. And if you are involved in that or homosexuality and you do not repent, bad news, you're going to hell. I don't care what you support. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care who supports it at your church. We had a church leader of a denomination last week, a very big denomination, very respected leader. He has given his priest this year permission to forgive abortion. Excuse me? Who are you to give people permission to forgive a sin of any kind? Nobody. That's who. And you can't forgive sin of any kind. Just because a group of people think you can does not make it so. The only person that can forgive your sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one way, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and that's the end of it. And you are either in, out, going up or down, going to heaven or going to hell. Get over it. It's not a popularity contest, and it won't be decided by popular vote. It will be decided by what you decide once you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we tell folks it's very dangerous to come in this building on Sunday. Because you are going to hear the gospel, and from that point on, you can never say to anybody, I did not know that. Because they'll just flip on the video, and you will see it across the eastern sky when they hold the judgment, and there you are, sitting at the bar with us, holding church. This isn't a church, by the way. Church is made up of the body of Christ. That's the people who have been redeemed by his blood. It has nothing to do with the building, whether it's this one or one on the corner or the brick one in your hometown. That is not a church. That is a building. The old folks got it right, as they got most things right, and we have changed. They called the corner church the church house. We're going to the church house on Sunday. And we're going back on Sunday night. And we're going on Wednesday night. How things have changed. Right around this town this Wednesday and try to find a church service in one of the buildings. Now you might find choir practice. You might find, you know, getting ready for the egg hunt. But you're not going to find prayer meeting. And prayer is the most powerful force on earth. 100 yards behind me sits the Atlantic Ocean. And dumb as we all are, we name them the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Mediterranean and the Sea of Japan. And look on a map, there's only one. This is the most powerful thing in the world behind me. Did you know prayer is more powerful than that? How do you know that?
because my friend Jesus stepped out on the boat and told it to be quiet one evening. And I'm trying to sleep. And the sea got like glass. And the tornado-like wind stopped. And he said, do you really believe that? I said, yes, I can really read. Why wouldn't you believe that? It amazes me that 2,000 years after these events happened, some professor comes along and decides they didn't happen. Excuse me, sir. Were you there? No. They were. They saw it. They were in it. They felt it. Don't come by 2,000 years later with your pea-head opinion with no facts to back it up. Well, have you ever seen anything since that? Don't have to. So you don't have to be dead. You don't have to die, but once, you know, you're dead. They don't redo that. It's over. And Jesus doesn't have to calm the sea again. He can if he wants to. There was a fella in California. He's passed on now with the Lord. And he used to go out a pier in California, walk out on the pier with a five bucket, you know, big old silver buckets. You see them now on the piers, people sitting on them fishing. He'd have that thing full of shrimp. And he'd go out there and throw the shrimp to seagulls. He wasn't fishing. He was just throwing them to seagulls. Several hundred would be in there. And he'd stay there a couple of hours just throwing them to seagulls. And somebody asked him, said, old man, why do you do that? I've noticed you come down here every Saturday morning. And you bring that bucket full of shrimp and you stay there and feed the seagulls until there are no more. Why would you do such a thing? He said, well, I was in a plane wreck one time. Happened to land in the ocean. And I got out and got on my little life raft. No motor. Didn't know where I was. Not near anybody or anything. It was hopeless. And I drifted for a couple of days. And I was getting hungry. And I was getting thirsty because you can't drink the seawater. At that particular point, you can't. And I didn't know what to do. And I prayed, Lord, please help me. And a seagull landed on his head. And he said, very quickly, I grabbed him. And, of course, I wrung his neck. And I drank his blood. And I ate the flesh. And because of that seagull, I'm alive today. And this is my way of thanking that little seagull is by feeding these. And the guy said, that's wonderful. What's your name? He said, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. Excuse me. And there's millions of things happen like that. Preachers telling stories all over the country right now about the wonders of God. And like a brother told about Don and what happened there. You better believe that. You better believe that. If you don't believe it, next time you get sick, don't pray. Call on somebody you believe. But God can heal people, does heal people. I don't believe in healers. I don't believe in healing lines. But I believe if you will pray, he will heal you and get you ready to do what you have to do. I had to sit back there this morning and I told somebody, I said, please push that big garbage can over in there in my chair. I said, Donnie, please pull it. He said, why? I said, I'm about to throw up. And he said, you are. I said, just about, if I can't make it to the bathroom. And I got up and I made it to the bathroom. And I was the only one had a seat. So I sat down and talked to myself. I said, but talk to the Lord. Lord, I don't need to be sick. Got to go preach. Takes a lot of energy. I got to remember things. And I need your help. And I don't need to be throwing up in this bathroom. And I certainly don't need to be throwing up in the pulpit. So if you would, take that away, and whatever it is, my stomach or whatever's going on, please take that away so I can do what you've asked me to do. It's gone. Amen. It's gone. See? So you think, I don't think, I know. There's some things you know.
So we're finding out here that things hadn't changed much because Pilate said, well, let's get the public opinion. What do you folks say? Who should we turn loose? This guy called Jesus or Barabbas, the guy we know is a troublemaker. They said, we'll turn Barabbas loose. They didn't like Jesus. For he knew, Pilate knew, that for envy they had delivered him. They didn't like Jesus. Isn't this sad that a man comes to town, heals the sick, makes the blind see and the cripple walk, raises the dead, does nothing but good, and when they tried him at his trial, they sent out people to find anything bad about him, and they all came back with the same report. We can find nothing wrong in this man's life. Absolutely nothing. We've asked everybody. Nobody knows of any wrong he has ever done. Now these same people want to keep him in jail, have him crucified, and turn a criminal loose. People hadn't changed much, have they? Hadn't changed much at all. We're going to give $100 billion to people who are shooting at us with our tanks. How did we get so stupid? Who did our president ask if that would be all right? He certainly didn't ask us, did he? Didn't ask the public. If you think our government is for you, you've gone completely mad. When he was sent down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, that's Pilate sitting down on the judgment seat, his wife sent a note to him saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. It was the Lord was trying to contact Pilate and give him one more chance and say, son, you have no idea what you're doing. Maybe you'll listen to your wife for once. And she said, honey, I've been bugged all day and all night about this. Somebody's trying to tell me something to tell you something. Do not touch that just man. And they did anyhow, and all you have to do is read what Rome did to them. But the chief priests and elders, you don't mean the church. Yeah. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas to be turned loose and destroy Jesus. Now, these weren't church folks because the church wasn't started yet. But these were religious authorities. And you say, how can a man claim to worship God and be a religious figure and do a thing like that? I don't know. Why don't you call Khomeini in Iran? He thinks he's a religious figure. He thinks he's the head of a religion. And today he got up and the first thing he said was, death to America, death to Jerusalem. So we're going to send him double money because he wants to kill both of us. Do we live in insanity or what? Here we are, dead in the middle of it, right? The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain, meaning which of the two, will ye that I release to you? Gave him a choice. And they said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, this is a question that Pilate was dealing with and for you to deal with. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Pilate didn't know that is the greatest religious question you can be asked. He wasn't a theologian. He certainly wasn't a Christian. He was persecuting Christ. And yet he's asked the most meaningful theological question that can be asked. And that is, what shall I do with this man called Christ? You have to do something with him. You can't avoid him because you're going to hear about him and you have all your life. You either have to accept him or reject him, and there's no middle ground. You can't kind of be saved. I mean, the lifeguard that was out here this summer, if he swam out to get a drowning man and pulled him half back in,
And I said, well, Bubba, did you save the man? He said, well, I half saved him. No, you didn't. You just let him drown in shallow water is all you did. You can't be half saved. You either got saved or you didn't. You either in or you're out. And if you don't know the answer to that question, what shall I do with this man called Jesus? You need to settle that today. Well, how can I do that? Well, you can accept him as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sins. Lord, I'm a sinner, the invitation we give at the end of our song, and then we all sing at the end, do we not? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I heard Benny Hinn last year tell a bunch of people, now, you can't be both saved and lost. You shouldn't say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I didn't say I was both saved and lost. I was announcing I had been lost, and now I'm saved. You got in or out, up or down, heaven, hell, pick one. Right? I choose to be saved. Well, do you have that much theological background? I don't need any background. When I'm in this swimming pool behind me that covers 3/5 of the earth, and the tide gets me and starts pulling me under, I don't want to know how warm the water is. I don't want to know if the tide's in or out. I don't want to know how things in Hawaii, where this water's going. I want one word, help! And I want the lifeguard to come and save me. That's all Jesus asked for. He said, call the lifeguard. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bible says, don't have to know the whole Bible. You've witnessed to people. I've witnessed to people. Well, I just don't know enough about the Bible. You don't have to. I know many preachers right now who are preaching. I don't even know if they own the Bible or not. And that's not to their credit. But they're in the pulpit. Okay. Watch some of them preach and watch them put the Bible down when they start and never pick it back up. Okay. The only theological information you need is found between these two covers. It's all you need. Now, the commentaries on that, I love Dr. Geisler. I understand he's back in Charlotte. Did you hear that, Jack? I heard that he's back. I hope he is, because we can go up and hear him preach some more. But he'll tell more than you really want to listen to about theology. However, I just want to know Jesus saves. All I need to know is if I repent, he will save me. I'm in. I'm on the bus. We'll worry about how fast it goes, where it's going, if it uses gas, diesel, or jet fuel. We'll find out all that later. I just want on the bus, okay? And this morning, if you don't have a seat on the bus, get you one. Get you one. They'll explain the details when you get there. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. No, you aren't. This is what America has done. Well, we can't come out against homosexuality. That will offend somebody. Well, if you're offended now, where do you get to hell? You don't know what offense is till you step through that door and unrepentant. Is it all homosexuals going to hell? Not the ones that repent. But all that don't repent will be right there telling us how wonderful thing is and why can't I marry him? I love him. I love my dog, but we don't have a wedding planned. They're gone crazy. They'll accept anything. The government, if there's a tumult, Black Lives Matter. What a lovely movement that is. Let's kill all the policemen. Okay, next time you have a problem, call Black Lives Matter. Don't call a policeman. Next time somebody breaks in your house, go down to Hood and get a couple of people to come up and help get the burglar out of your house before he kills you. Don't call the police.
Somebody asked me, well, preacher, you know how they do the preacher. They change their voice when they talk to me.
Have you noticed that?
Well, preacher, I said, yes. What do you think they ought to do? The man walked up behind a man, shot him in the head. He hit the floor. His life's over now, but he shot him 14 times. What do you think about that? I said, do you really want to know what I think about that? He said, yeah. I said, reinstitute lynching. Oh, you shouldn't say that. You a preacher. You shoot my son. You pray to God somebody catches you before I do. It happened. Where's Chick back here? Chick, come with you, honey. He didn't come with his wife. Where's Chick back here? Chick got attacked out here, Little River, behind the post office. He lives down that way. Got attacked in his own garage. Two men attacked him, cut him up with a knife. I visited him in the hospital. His head was big as a basketball. We didn't know if he was going to live or die. And they were trying to find out who did it. And Chick has how many brothers, baby? Two. They were sitting there. And they were what we call good old boys. You know what I mean? You could look at them and nobody had to tell you, don't smack one of them. You knew it was best just to leave them alone. And they were that wide and that thick. And they were just sitting there very quietly. And finally, I said, well, I hope the police catch those people that did that to Chick before his brothers do, because they'll get over what the police is going to do to them. They ain't going to get over what they're going to do to them. And as it happened, they put up a $3,000 reward, and their brother called them in, got the money, and turned them in. Aren't we living in a moral country? Isn't it wonderful to know? Everybody loves one another like the Bible says. You've got to be kidding. Our country has gone to hell in a handbasket, and it is not coming back. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Just be glad you know the Undertaker and don't have to worry about the Undertaker. All right? Death can't even touch you. And we said, we're at funeral homes, and I've been to 10 funerals this year, and read the book. Jesus came to destroy Satan, sin, and death. Well, I still see sin. Keep looking. Won't be long. You're going to a place where there isn't any. Well, Satan's still at work. We got a place reserved for him. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and people who study this thing like I do, we believe he's coming soon. I don't see how much more can happen without him coming soon, to be honest. How he puts up with what's going on in the world, I don't understand. So then we have these people, our government, bless their heart. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, wanted to show them, I'm not guilty. Do we not have Congress and the Senate and the President and the Vice President doing the same thing? Well, don't call me because they're cutting Christians in half. What do you want me to do? I want you to take some of the nuclear bombs we paid for and drop them on the people who are doing it. That's what I want you to do. Well, that sounds harsh. Harsh is not the word for it. You ever seen one of those things go on? Yeah. The Bible's not a kiddie book. You either for God or against him. He'll either protect you or kill you. I called about a friend of mine in Greenville. I went up there to speak a few weeks back and borrowed your car, didn't I, Milt? Did you get those tickets? A man in the uniform said he'd send them. He'd send them to the car owner. Did they come in there? And I'm sitting there, and I found out a friend of mine that I hadn't seen in 10 or 15 years had made millions of dollars. And he made it by joining up with a fellow who had invented a chemical that would do something.
clean cement or something, swimming pools, whatever, and got that in Lowe's and Walmart and everywhere around the nation, had made millions of dollars. And the man who got him in that business and was a partner, he cheated out of the money and fired that man. Claimed to be a Christian. All right. So they said, what's going to happen, Beaver? I said, just watch. Just watch. God don't put up with that. I went back a couple of weeks ago to go up and preach. I said, where's Bob? And he said, Bob's dead. I said, well, I thought he made millions of dollars. He said he did, but he's gone. My age, good health, nothing wrong with him, dropped dead. He said, what happened? I said, I'll tell you what happened. God took him home. That's what happened. You really believe that? I said, is he gone? He said, yeah. I said, was he a Christian? He said he was. I said, well, how can you die if you're a Christian if God doesn't take you home? Because Christians can't die. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. There's no death for a Christian. Quit worrying about that. Don't even watch the funeral, lad. See? I love that. I understand Alan Lee sold out up there, you know. Somebody said he sold out. They must have offered him a lot of money. Somebody expected a lot of people to die. And I used to stop by. I love Alan. He's a good man. When people didn't have a preacher at their funeral, he'd say, well, I got one I can call. He'll come anytime. And I do that because it's an opportunity to preach the gospel. I don't know what the family wanted or expected, but, you know, like that cat that just watches you and won't do anything on TV. And they say, that's what you do when you're a cat. Well, I'm an evangelist. You call me to come and speak. I'm going to evangelize. What did you think I was going to do? And so I'll kid Alan. I say, Alan, how's business? Dead? He said, get out of here. I got customers. I said, no, you have potential customers. Your customer's already dead. So he said, just don't come around here. But we get along good, and he always tags $100 onto the fee and gives that to me for holding the service, and that's good. I can always use that. See, the man don't know. He's gone, you know. It's over for him. And they'll say, well, what, did you know him? I said, no. She said, well, how can you preach a funeral with a man you don't know? I said, I didn't come preach a funeral. I came to preach the gospel. I came to preach to people who come, so if he went to hell, they won't go. There is absolutely nothing I can do for the man in the box. I'll be glad to go to the funeral with you and go over to the graveyard, and we'll all look sad and lower him in the ground. And I told Alan, I said, Alan, what's the hardest thing to do becoming a mortician? I mean, that's got to be a hard job, doesn't it? You got to run that stuff up there and take the blood out. And, you know, you don't hear about that. It's not nice. You know, very difficult to be a mortician. And I said, what is the hardest thing to do to learn, you know, to be a mortician? I said, I think I know. And he said, what do you think? I said, not smiling at a $20,000 funeral. Because he's got to sit there at the back and look glum and sad. He ain't sad. He's making $20,000. See, we're upside down, are we not? Billy Graham, God bless him, 95 now. Isn't that good? 95. I believe Billy will live till Jesus comes. I hope he does. I hope he does. Bill Graham said 80% of people I preach to in churches are lost. 80%. Are you kidding me? Do you know it insults most Christians if you ask them if they're saved? It insults most people if you ask them, how's your spiritual condition? They think that you've said something wrong. It's the rightest thing you could say. Son, I don't have to tell you this. I'm telling you this because I love you. How do you stand with the Lord? If you died today, what would happen to you, boy? I don't know. Well, be glad I came by, because you're going to know in a minute. That's our job. He was right. What did Jesus tell you to do? Go into all the world. Thank you, Don. Can you get a new sign that might say 11 minutes and, instead of 10 or something? Can't get by without Donnie, see? So we find out that Pilate couldn't wash away his sins, and nobody else can wash away yours. They're different fraternal organizations. I'm aware of them. The moose, the mice, and the mongoose. And, you know, and you wear your hat, and you got your secret handshake and all that stuff, and that's good if you're 11 years old. And they'll tell you that they're going to cleanse you. They're going to show you the light. I'm sorry, the light's in here. Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, truth, and light. That's the only light that'll wash away your sins right here. Laser won't do it. And we have to decide now, and boy, aren't you glad we got our little silver things to give out? Are you giving any out? I hope you are. Hope you are. I can't tell you how late it's getting. I mean, it's getting late. Jesus is coming soon. And the only rewards we're going to get in heaven is for what we did on His behalf. That's the benefit of getting saved early. You got longer, and you don't do that. I've said, the Lord will reward you. You take your rewards anyhow and give them back to Him, which is a good thing to do, and that's good. But I said, I don't even want any rewards. You don't have to give me nothing. You already gave me something I can't buy, nobody can give me, I can't work for, I can't earn. You gave me a ticket to heaven, Lord Jesus. Why would you want to give me anything else? I didn't deserve that, and I certainly don't deserve anything else. And what can you give me that is greater than your salvation? Nothing. Can't name a thing, can you? There's one thing I noticed up at the funeral home, that one and the one downtown, and the rest of them I've been to. I hold a lot of funerals more than weddings now. And I found out at all the funeral homes, North Carolina, South Carolina, and everywhere I go, there are no U-Haulets. What? When that limousine leaves with you in the back, it don't pull nothing with your stuff in it. Your stuff's over when they've stuffed you. Well, I don't like that. I don't care. So Pilate says, what shall I do with this man called Jesus? And let me run through a few Bible characters to tell you what they did. We'll go home. James was the brother of Jesus. The largest denomination on earth said Jesus didn't have any brothers. The Bible said He did, and one of them was named James. And he not only was his brother, he became the preacher and the pastor of the biggest church, the Church of Jerusalem. Tell me he didn't have a brother. Had sisters too. Roman officer came back. Said, Lord Jesus, I've heard about you. My baby lives about 10 miles down the road where I live, and she's dying. And if you would, I've heard about you, and I believe in you. Would you please heal her? And Jesus said, well, yeah, I'll go down there. He said, you don't have to come down there. I know who you are. I know what you can do. Will you heal her? I just want to know if you will. And Jesus said, well, sure I will. And a Roman officer went home and got within a few yards of the yard there, and his little girl's out there swinging on a tire. I guess it was the first tire ever made. And his little girl's not sick anymore. She's out there playing, having a good time. Well, here comes Daddy. Hey, Daddy, good to see you. Good to see you, honey. And his servants came, and he said, when did she get out of bed? About 1:15 yesterday. And they said, yeah, it was right after
afternoon, about 1 o'clock. He said, I thought so. That's when I was with him. That's when I asked him. And that's when he acted. God don't have to be in the chair next to you to help you. Whether it's to make you well or to save you, he knows where you are right now. Unfortunately, he knows where you were last night and the night before. There is no news for the King of the Jews. Write that down. Beaver 101. Okay. No news. He knows it all before it happens. Jesus, they came and got him. He was back in town, and so he went into a house where a baby had died, a little girl. Name was Tabitha. And he came in the house and said, what's up? And they said, well, Tabitha has passed away. And he said, no, she's just sleeping. And the Bible said they laughed him to scorn. Everybody there mourning the death of this child, they laughed. They said, what do you mean she's asleep? She's dead. The doctor said she's dead. Her mother's here and said she's dead. Her daddy's here. He says she's dead. The family's gathered around. And they said she's dead. And Jesus said, would you please not block the door? And went in, and the Bible said, took her by the hand and said, Tabitha, you don't speak to dead people, do you? He does. Tabitha, arise. Up she came. And the liberal said, do you really believe that? And I look and say, you really don't? What you doing teaching Bible? Never understood that. I read Dr. Geisler's works and understand a little of it. A man's got more gray matter than you need. And the liberals don't even have a case. Yet they've taken over the university theological departments, and you send your child to a college, if it's not a Christian college, they'll steal his faith. That's why they're there. That's their main purpose, is to steal the faith of your children. If you got grandchildren going to a college, you make sure, if it isn't a Christian college, to not take any religious courses. Learn your religion from a Bible-believing, born-again, blood-washed Son of the Living God. That's where to learn what the Bible says. Other people lie about it. One leper out of 10. Now, that isn't the kind of leprosy. We have leper colonies today where people's fingers fall off and all. There was another kind of leprosy. You just turned white, and it was, you know, it's not a good disease. You still had to wear the bell around your neck. And 10 of them walking down the road and running into Jesus. He knew what was happening. He said, hey, fellas, how you doing? See your bell. Got a little leprosy, do you? Yeah, come here, let me pray for you. Gone. 10 of them, leprosy, healed. And they took off. He said, go tell the priest what you saw. And out of 10, one came back. One came back and said, I don't know who you are, but I certainly want to thank you for what you did for me to cure me of leprosy. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful person you are. And I just wanted to come back. I can catch up with them. I just want to thank you. Have you noticed how rare you get somebody to thank you today for anything? For anything. You see, I do it all the time. I'm old-fashioned. In fact, I'm old. So what? But if there's a lady behind me coming in the door, so I open the door. And say, come in, ma'am. They'll walk right in and will not say thank you. They'll walk right in. They'll say thank you next time because I yell at them so everybody will hear. The word is thank you, ma'am. Well, you're going to offend somebody. Find somebody I don't offend. Right's right and wrong's wrong.
And nothing, well, a lot of things make me madder. That's just a good old Southern saying, you know, nothing makes me madder. I eat up at Ella's all the time. Why do you do that? Because my wife has a sign in the kitchen that says I only have a kitchen because it came with the house. That's why. Okay. It's all right. Not why I married her. I didn't say, could we have a date? We'll go eat something. And we find, I'll go in Ella's up there. Sit down. I sit in the cubbyhole generally, and where I can be by myself, and I'll have my, what is this you gave me, baby, and all that?
A Kindle.
Has 8 or 10 books in it. You can carry them. It's that thick. I don't even believe it. And I'll be in there studying, waiting on my food to come. And I look around, and there'll be 10 people in there, grown. These aren't kids. These are grown men with a hat on their head eating dinner. You know what would have happened to me if I'd have wore a hat to the dinner table when I was a kid? My head would have went rolling. And when it stopped and my rear end was in the air, then I'd have got it beat. How rude to wear your hat at the dinner table. No sense of even thanking God for my food. I watch around to see who says the blessing. When Dave Smith was with us, I went to California to see him, went to the Holiday Inn on Thanksgiving. Boy, it was a big one. And I'm by myself, so I go down to have a Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm looking around, and just for fun, I said, California's a little weird anyhow, but I'm going to look around and see how many people in here say the blessing on Thanksgiving Day for their food. And that thing sat 500 people. I watched and watched and watched and watched and never saw one bow their head and thank God for their food on Thanksgiving Day. However, the wine menu was this thick. They all looked at it. That's their Bible, by the way. If I get worried, I'll just drink. Demons shrank from him. You ever run into a demon, you'll know it. False preachers and teachers, they misrepresent him. What will I do with Jesus? For some reason, the colleges and even seminaries are loaded up with false preachers, false prophets. Do you believe in the deity of Christ? Do you believe he's God? Well, you see, now don't well you see. Pharisee, Sadducee, and well you see. I want nothing to do with any of them. Okay? Do you believe that or not? Do you believe God's born of a virgin or not? Do you believe this book is the inerrant, indestructible, infallible word of God or don't you? We'll find out with just a few questions where you stand, because you're not only fooling the people you're talking to, you're fooling yourself. You're not saved. You lost as a billy goat. Well, gee, I don't know what happened. I went to all the egg hunts. I even sang in the Christmas tree thing. The immoral, we have gone from a moral country to an immoral country. Now we're in an immoral country, which means there aren't any. They ignore him. It's got to where you hardly watch TV anymore. What's on there? What's on television now used to be what was in the carnival tent when we were slipping in at 12 and 13 years age at the carnival at the fair, seeing the Hoochie Coochie Show, we called it. Now that's just regular. They had the girls in New York City. New York City, I'm talking about, right downtown, naked. Don't tell me, you fellas, don't tell me you didn't look. You saw them. They're painted And they're painted with latex paint. Latex is rubber, right? You think you got naked people in New York? Get in here on a weekend, on summer. Ain't no different than the latex paint of what they wear right in here, right on that beach out there. Not a dime's worth of difference. How sad that we have sunk that low. Then I see mothers bringing three-year-olds in here dressed in a bikini. Just exactly what is it you're teaching her, honey? Well, I don't know what you mean. What I mean is, if you ain't got nothing for sale, quit advertising. That's what I mean. How sad. PhDs, what shall I do with Jesus? They were astonished at him, at the questions he asked, and the questions he answered. And the reason they were astonished was not because he knew so much, it was because he was only 12 years old and knew so much. Astonished, didn't know what to do. Medical doctors were baffled by him. They had pronounced the man with leprosy, now he's clean. They had seen the man who couldn't walk and said, there's nothing I can do for you. And he's walking back in the office saying, Doc, you were wrong. They'd been to funerals where friends were buried and the dirt was thrown and the mourners, the professional and non-professional, all cried before they got back to the fellowship hall and ate pimento cheese sandwiches. And he came in the door walking. How did he do that? The disciples were awestruck. Did you read in the Bible where they were on a boat and Jesus was trying to get a little sleep and it had a storm and the wind was boisterous and the waves were covering the boat? And he came out and said, peace, be still. Wasn't much of a dialogue, was it? And the disciples looked at him and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? See, that's who saved you. That's who our God is. That's who Jesus is. The mother of God, bless her heart, Mary. We honor God's mother as we would your mother. We respect her, but she's not a joint. She can't help you with your salvation. There's a denomination that makes Jesus' mother co-redemptrix with Christ. That's a big word for she can save you too. No, she can't. How do you know that? Because she calls him my Lord. That's how I know that. There's one Savior, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's only one. What did Satan, death, and sin do with him? Those three. What shall I do with this man called Jesus, says Satan. What am I going to do with him, says death. He keeps raising people I killed. What am I going to do, said sin. He turns people around completely and changes their nature. You see, he defeated Satan, death, and sin. It's over for them. You say, well, if he did that, why do I still see it? Because of the goodness of God. Well, that sounds crazy. You mean I see sin because of the goodness of God? Yeah, he's so good he won't come right now because he wants to get as many saved as he can. And he came for those sinners, which was once you and me. Aren't you glad?
Yes, thank you.
And he wants everyone saved. The Bible said it's the will of God that all be saved. Tomorrow, didn't want anybody to be lost. Tens of thousands were martyred because of Jesus. That's what they did, gave their life.
Did you know that there's been more people martyred in the last 10 years than in the last 400? Today, people will be cut in half, heads cut off, blown up, drowned, set on fire for their stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's their only crime. Islam, what a wonderful, peaceful religion. Thank you, Obama. I've heard so much about it. Are you kidding me? You pathological murderers is what you are. You have no God. No wonder it doesn't bother you to cut a child's head off. No wonder it doesn't bother you to take the women and girls and put them in a camp and do nothing but rape them until you decide to kill them and leave them by the side of the road. You're trash. You're nothing. You're the lowest of the low is what you are. Well, Muhammad wouldn't like that. I don't care what Muhammad likes. He's in hell. Well, they'll kill you for that. Bring it. How sad a condition we're in. Billions decided they'd be saved by him. Billions. Lives turned around, eternity secure, as we sing. All because of one man. And football season started, as you know, and you ladies have anything to say to your husband between now and January, I'd go ahead and say it today. Football season has started. Right. How sad it is that all you have to do is repent of your sins and all that's gone away. And all the bad things that we think's good because we're upside down. The Bible tells you a day will come when wrong is called right and right is called wrong. Congratulations, it's today. Congratulations. Why is it necessary to even vote to keep people from murdering babies in their mother's womb? That's not even a decent question. Let alone is there a decent answer to it. The most dangerous place for a baby today in the most civilized country in the free world is in his mother's womb. I mean, how did we get to that point? See, as you know, I don't waste words with people who are foolish. And when I hear one saying, well, I believe in abortion, I just simply say it's a shame your mother didn't. That'd solve a lot of it, wouldn't it? God bless you, you found a Savior. And all the bad things that ever have been or will be can't touch you. Child of the living God. And the Bible says over and over, he's a very jealous God. Don't mess with my kids. Don't fool with mine. I'll come and get you. And they think that's an empty threat. That's not a threat. That's a promise. So how about you today? What think ye of Christ? What shall I do with this man called Jesus? It's a question not just to Pilate, to every human being since Pilate, including you. What shall I do with this man called Jesus? If you don't know him personally, I don't just mean as a historical figure. I mean, if you've never made a commitment to follow him and ask him, Lord Jesus, I believe you're God. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you can forgive sin, and I'm going to ask you, please forgive mine. I repent. I'm sorry. And would you please do that for me today? That's my prayer. He'll take care of that. He'll do it. Most of you have probably done that, but I come every Sunday because maybe one hadn't. I love to come see your faces and got good friends here, and what a joyous time of fellowship to be here. That's not why I come. I come because maybe one has eased in the door or come off the beach or is watching by this thing who doesn't have a Savior. And I come for him or for her. For what a shame for anyone to go to hell when they can go to heaven. So if that's you, as we sing and pray, you pray that prayer and your ticket will be punched. You don't have to come up here. If you want to, fine, I'll pray with you. Have any other needs need to be prayed for, come up here, I'll pray for you. See, Milt pray for you. Linda will pray for you. My wife will pray for you silently. Right, honey? But you better know she knows who she prays to. Whatever your need is, we'll be glad to pray for you today. Thank you for coming. You spent part of your time, and that's what life is made of, time. And you've chosen to give us part of your time. Please come again. Tell your friends about us. If you liked us. If you didn't, just keep your mouth shut. And we hope to see you here, there, or in the air. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to preach your word. I'm sorry I'm not too regular. I just didn't fall in that category. I took the courses in college and seminary, but to be honest, Lord, they didn't make a lot of sense to me. I got more out of listening to Harold Seitler and W. Norman Greenway and Oliver B. Green and people of that nature, Billy Graham, Hal Lindsey, and Jack Van Impey, and these wonderful men of God that you've put where we can get discs, films, watch them on television, read their books, and we can get the Word of God from men of God. And there's just something about hearing a preacher who you know believes what he preaches. Thank you for making me one of those. What a wonderful gift that was. If there's anybody here who doesn't know you as personal Savior, Lord, would you have the Spirit of God stop by them a little extra this morning and pull on their heart? And maybe they've had that done before, but they let him just go on by. But this morning, when they feel you calling upon them silently, if there be one lost, may they leave here found. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his wonderful sake, amen.
Started from, then I know you.